You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls.
We're back.
We are back.
Welcome to Desperate. You know what it is. It's a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. We like to call ourselves the Desperate Hoes from time to time. You can call us whatever you'd like if you are part of the fandom. I'm Julia, and this is my first time watching this particular show. We're now 15 episodes in, so I'm not quite as inexperienced as I once was.
I know. 15 episodes is a lot in this day and age.
It really is. We're a season and a half.
Just over halfway through. We got a lot to go. I'm Jordan. Sorry.
By the way.
Skipped my little intro. Yeah. This is not my first time watching, but it is my first time watching in a long time. And it's super fun getting to relive all these moments and kind of have new reactions. Because the last time I watched this show, I was a young teen.
Yeah.
So now as an adult.
And you're, like, keeping secrets. You've kept your mouth sealed. You've kept it shut about everything that's been uncovered. It's been crazy. Because this is not just a comedy. It's not a drama. It's also a mystery, which is one of the reasons I'm really enjoying it so far. It has a little bit of everything that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. You can watch along with us. We hope that you're doing that. Amazon Prime or Hulu, hit it up. You don't have to. It's up to you. You might have already watched. You could just want some easy listening to our podcast. It's always great to just have some people gabbing on in the background. Yeah. Hopefully you are following along with us on Instagram or Twitter. We'd like hearing from you guys there. We have an email. You can really hit us up wherever. We are also available wherever you get your podcasts. So that includes Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, a bunch of other platforms. So listen, follow, subscribe wherever. It's probably a Monday if you're listening, hopefully. Maybe not. But we drop every Monday. So you can always catch us on Mondays with a new episode.
Yep.
And other than that, that's really all of our housekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Rate and review if you feel it.
Yeah, we always encourage that. Tell your friends about us.
Yeah.
I don't know. Talk about us. Typically, every episode, we are going to jump in with the recap, mild recap of the last episode. Then we're going to go into our desperate deeds. It's one of my favorite parts where we get to talk about acts of our own desperation or others.
Oh, God.
Then we're going to recap the episode after we go watch it. So this newest episode. And then last but not least, we end with a fuck, marry, kill, which is my other favorite part. Yeah. We do a housewife of the week and we designate the episode on a scale of 1 to 5 apples. So that's kind of the basic structure of our show.
Yeah, just so you know what you're in for if you're new here.
If you're new, which hopefully you're not.
Yeah.
Or just kidding. We want everybody.
Yeah, we want all of you. But you know what it is if you've been around for a few episodes. So episode 14. Well, today we're watching episode 15.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Impossible.
Yeah. And then last episode was Love is in the Air. It was our Valentine's episode.
Yeah, which we thoroughly enjoyed because there are not a lot of Valentine's episodes out on the market, I feel. It's not typically... There are, I feel like, some of those campy sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't imagine this one having one. So
it's exciting. And it was a fun episode.
It was really cute. The girls all had love-related themes besides Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
Gabby had bangs. Well, surprisingly, for and one
spoke scene. Down to yeah. people.
And she basically fired her maid, Yao Lin, as they got in, like, a heated argument just about really nothing. Gabby was just being a bitch to her and was like, get on your knees and scrub the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And you're below me kind of attitude and fires Yao Lin. And Yao Lin is happily fired. She dips and is like, whatever, I wanted to go. You suck. And then Gabby is doing her modeling thing at a mattress store for a sale that they're having.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not like being shot by a photographer. She's just like laying. She's lounging because sex sells is what the guy says.
And, bit aggressive.
Yeah, a little bit aggressive. And so while she's like lounging around, the guy comes up and asks her to do something, and she's like, no, I'm a model and I'm above you. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, I'm a salesperson. And you, mm-hmm. like, are looking down on that. She's like, yeah, basically. And then he fires her, rightfully so. So while she's fired, she's the sole provider of this household at this point. So she needs a job. She goes to the makeup store. She sees others help wanted, and she ends up getting a job there. While she's there, yeah, Lynn comes in. Because that's where she buys her makeup, and Gabby gives her a terrible makeover and also talks down to her.
Yeah.
Once again, saying, like, the difference between us is our dreams. Like, I dream of more, and I'm going to get it. This is a blimp on my radar, yada, yada, yada. And she just talks mad shit, and Yalyn, like, dips with a terrible makeover.
Yeah.
And then, at the end, she comes home to Carlos and, like, looks at herself in the mirror. And it was pretty... I'm trying to look for the words. It was disappointing in one respect because she's such a bitch to everybody. But it was also great to see her pulling herself up by the bootstraps and, like, getting a job and, like, taking responsibility. So that was a double-edged sword there.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we had Lynette. And Lynette, basically, her kids are stealing shit all around the neighborhood.
They're on a little klepto streak.
Yeah, specifically from their neighbor, Mrs. McCluskey. And Mrs. McCluskey calls them out on this. She is reclaiming the things that are hers. And mm-hmm. Lynette's, like, adamant that her kids didn't steal them. It starts with, like, a pot that they gift her. And yeah. then it's a clock and... Then Tom comes around and, like, finds all the stuff that they stole, and Lynette has to go make her boys apologize to Mrs. McCluskey. Mm-hmm. And when they do this, we learn that Mrs. McCluskey had a son that passed away, and it was really emotional. I cried a little bit.
It's pretty tragic, but we get a better understanding of her and
yeah,
the dynamics.
And that the connecting theme is that, like, Lynette loves her boys, and Mrs. McCluskey loved her boy when he was alive. And mm-hmm. in between that whole storyline, Lynette eggs Mrs. McCluskey in the face. And Mrs. does. McCluskey double runs over a bike.
Yeah.
So there's an all-out war.
Their feud gets pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So that's where they end up. And also, while the boys were stealing, they stole from Mike's house, and they found Mrs. Huber's jewelry, mm-hmm. which then...
Which Paul had planted.
Yeah, which Lynette then brings to Susan. Yeah.
Okay, so Susan and Mike, they make Valentine's plans. They do go on a date. Before that happens, Mike is, like, snooping, doing his little PI thing, and he gets shot by, like, someone who's scared of him as an intruder. And he gets it stitched up by, like, some crime doctor. And then they go out on their date, where Susan expresses that she doesn't want more kids after a moment earlier in the episode where she thought that Mike was, like, desperate for children. He ends up kind of, like, his wound opens and he bleeds out, basically, and passes out. And then when she goes to the hospital, she becomes suspicious because his story is that he shot himself. But, like, the doctor and nurse kind of aren't buying it. And then... she gets even more suspicious when Lynette presents her the jewelry. So we kind of get a wrench thrown into the love between Susan and Mike and their shitty ass Valentine's Day cards.
I have a feeling they're going to get over it, though.
You never know. It is Desperate Housewives.
You're like, I'm not going to ruin it, but, like, yeah. Susan, she's like, you're not even going to convince me to have your baby.
Oh, yeah. She's, no.
She's like, I would cave. I always cave.
She does cave. That is her thing.
So.
And then... Bree and Rex basically finally talk about the fact that Rex likes to be dominated, and he shows her what it means, and she freaks the fuck out.
They watch porn together.
They do watch porn together.
Loudly.
And let us know if that's something you and your partner would do, because now I'm curious.
Yeah, we talked about it last episode.
But she, after freaking out, has another conversation with him where she's open to it, and they kind of ease their way into at least trying some of the stuff associated with that. And it's actually like we gave them the housewife of the week to both of them because...
Yeah, they were both, like, pretty open and, like...
They met in the middle. They had constructive conversations. And when one freaked out, the other wasn't rude about it.
They're trying new things with each other.
Yeah.
I'd say Rex and her haven't watched porn together before.
I mean, it just sucks because it feels like if he had just told her this in the first place, he wouldn't have had to cheat, clearly.
With a woman that she knows.
Yeah, like, that shit kind of sucks. But whatever. I'm happy for them that they're working through this in a constructive way. And then last but not least, Felicia stops over at Paul's house to bring him something that got delivered to her house on mistake. And she sees a picture of Mary Alice. and says, oh, that's Angela. Turns out that they had worked together as nurses at some point at a rehab facility.
Yeah,
but I'm Paul intrigued. Tries to deflect it. So
yeah, he steps in front of the picture. He's like, I don't know, no, Angela.
Yeah, he's like, Angela, I ain't never heard of that name before.
Who?
I don't know, what is that even a name?
Yeah. I don't know what that is. So it was a great episode.
It was a great
episode. We gave it high marks, like it was in the fours yeah. for us. So we hope you enjoyed it just as much. And I'm kind of curious. I don't know that we looked up the date of it, but if it came out around Valentine's Day, if any of you have memories of that, but it was a great episode. Mm-hmm. So I loved Susan's desperate moment of like, I gave, I always gave.
Me too. There was a lot of good quotes in that episode. Especially in the Bree storyline.
When she's talking to her therapist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we hope this episode is better, just as good as or better.
It has a lot to kind of follow up.
Yeah. But I have a desperate deed.
Let's
it happened it. This week, too.
Oh, shit.
It's a recent, because, like, I have a lot actually stored up from my past. But and last time I came up with one off the cuff, because it was just relevant to our theme of weed. This one, okay, so last week I went out to like a wine bar type situation by the beach with a friend, and I didn't mean to drink as much as I did, which happens with wine for me. I'm a wino.
It's easy. It goes down easy.
I understand why Johnny Depp, okay.
Was spending, what, 15 grand a month on wine?
Oh, yeah, but also that, I think this is a desperate deed in its own. He had the tattoo Winona for Winona Ryder.
Oh, he changed it to Wino Forever?
He changed it to Wino Forever.
Which is a solid, like, that's a solid cover-up situation.
That's great, but that's a little bit desperate. But mine, I went to this wine bar. I drank too much wine. We got two bottles, and then somebody got a third, and, like, I think I had a glass of that. Who knows? I slept in my friend's house. I was safe. Mm-hmm. And then we were smoking spliffs. So it was a big night for me, because I don't typically do that.
No, that is a big night.
It's a big night for me. So I'm also, like, single. I'm on the apps. I'm, like, out there on the prowl. Maybe not. Like, I'm not on the prowl.
On the prowl. All right.
I'm, like, open to things. Mm-hmm. So, like, obviously I go places and I'm like, what's up here? Unexpectedly, the chef of the restaurant, like, knows my friend. Like, she goes there all the time. And he, like, came out and, like, gave her fish. And, like, I tried an oyster. He gave me the oyster that I tried.
Nice.
I don't eat fish either. So this is a crazy night for me.
Really. Yeah, damn.
But I was, like, just really, like, feeling him that night. I was like, he's, like, the coolest guy I've ever met. Like, he's a chef and he works in film. I was, like, vibing on that guy. I don't think he knows that. So if he ever listens. But I was, like, really into this. And I'm, like, I'm going to see him again. I'm going to come back here again with my friends. So, like, this is good. Like, I really like him and I know this. At a certain point, after drinking lots of wine, I have to pee. And I, like, go. I'm wearing overalls. So I go to the bathroom and I go pee. And I feel, like, such relief because I'd been holding it forever. And then I get up and I go to, like, redo my overall. And one of my straps has fallen in the toilet that I just peed in. I literally peed all over my overall strap
in the
toilet water. And it's like, oh my God. And it's like drenched. And I am
what?
Like,
what? Oh no. Oh no.
I have to go back out there and like talk for way long. I don't even know how. We'd had no plans to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like sitting there trying to like dry it off with paper towels. And they're like soaking through. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. And then I didn't want to be in the bathroom. I was getting self-conscious because this is my mind. I have a lot of anxiety. I was getting self-conscious about being in the bathroom for too long.
I get the same way.
Was like, oh my God. And I was just like, I dried it off. And then I had a coat outside. So I was like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there and just put my coat on like really fast. So nobody sees that this overall is drenched in like pee water. And I go out there. And that's exactly what I do. I don't think I've ever put on a coat faster. And I, like, pray to God that this guy didn't fucking see it. Because, like, the whole reason I was so embarrassed is I was like, I don't want this guy to know that I just, like, peed on. Like, everybody must think I'm, like, so drunk. And yeah. I am. Like, and then, oh, my God. And then we're leaving finally, like, an hour later. And, like, everybody's, like, hugging. And he hugged me. And I'm like, oh, my God. The pee strap is, like, right by my
Oh,
and I'm, like,
my
just hoping
God.
that coat covered it. But my desperate Deed is just like putting that coat on so fast, like desperately, like I don't want him to see that. I just peed all over my strap. So that happened.
That was an amazing desperate deed.
That was my life last week. So now we follow each other on Instagram, me and him. So I'll update you guys.
Okay, so it's going well so far.
That's the first step. I'd be happy to just be friends. I'll update you guys if anything ever happens, but maybe not. This is typically my MO. I get started and just stop. Like,
gotta do what you gotta do.
Gotta start somewhere.
Yeah. My desperate deed's not nearly as funny, but it's not even my desperate deed. Goddamn. I'm like, do I have any like wardrobe malfunctions off the top of my head that fit the theme? So my desperate deed, it's not nearly as funny or interesting, but recently I left a job, and in a Hail Mary attempt to keep me to stay after we had numerous throwdowns with management and whatnot, they threw a raise my way. But not only did they throw a shitty raise, they did not tell me that I got a raise. No one talked to me about it. No one brought it up. It was just like this awkward, like desperate, like half-assed try to keep me around. Did not work. I now have a job somewhere else that pays me way better anyway. But that's my desperate deed this week, and it feels really good.
They were desperate. Without even offering, because then, okay, I'm going to add details, because then you got a job. I don't even think that you got the job. I don't really know.
Hadn't even gotten the new job.
You hadn't gotten the job, but you were done and you were like, I'm leaving. And they were like, the hotel will really suffer with you.
Yeah, they gave me this whole speech about how me leaving was really going to cause a lot of problems. And I'm like, well.
And then they didn't even offer you more money or anything.
Nothing. They offered me nothing.
But they were desperate. They were desperately guilting you. Yes.
So that's the desperate deed of the week. And the reason why I'm telling it is because I'm officially done working there and I officially have a new job.
You're like, now I can talk about it.
I'm very excited. I had to throw them under a bus for being desperate little bitches in the first place. So.
Our queen got a new job and she's going to kill it. And she deserves it. Yay.
Very excited.
So we hope you're ready to see some corporate desperation.
Hell yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, but we are thrilled because last week was so great with all the love in the air. So season 1 episode 15, Impossible, queue it up. We're gonna go queue it up and meet you back here when it's all over. And you guys know how we like to watch our episodes.
Buckle up.
Season 1 episode 15, Impossible. The children in the Vandekamp household explore their sexuality. After Mike is taken to jail under suspicion for killing Mrs. Huber, Susan gives him an alibi, but she ends up wishing she hadn't. At Zach's pool party, Julie realizes who Zach really is. A merman? When Tom ends up getting an unexpected promotion, Lynette can't handle it and intrudes. Naughty. Gabby dodges the passes of a new yard boy, one who is hiding a big secret. Oh, yeah.
Andrew is back.
He's back. And he's back in a big way.
I never saw this coming. I saw it coming, but I like didn't see it coming.
No, it is a bit of a twist, especially since we haven't seen him really in a couple episodes. So it's like, okay.
I mean, I got an inkling he might be gay from like his alcohol.
Julia,
abuse.
He's not gay. He clearly stated he's not gay.
I'm not gay. Yeah. All the polos, the pop collars. Okay. So, wow. Lots of you probably already knew if you're diehard fans, and I'm surprised none of you fucking messaged about it. Thank you for no spoilers.
I know,
everybody.
No spoilers. We all did good.
I know. After I said a lot of things, like I think I made a joke about him wearing a pink polo and saying he's not gay. Where I was like, he probably wears a pink polo to school and says he's not gay. And then he's definitely
I do
gay.
Remember you saying that, and I remember internally just being like, don't say anything.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So I mean, that's a great, I'm glad we're talking about it now, because we start off, Mary Alice goes in on Bree today. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's where we open. Mary Alice Young says, Bree believed in old-fashioned values, respect for God, the importance of family, love of country, which I'm like, okay, whatever.
I know, the picture of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, okay. She believed so strongly in her values that it was always a shock when she was confronted with those who didn't. And she yells at Rex because she comes across something, and it's something that bothers her. It's a condom. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's not mine, I swear. She's like, you promised the cheating would stop. And like, who else was it? Would it be? And Rex is like, I don't use that hamper. And Bree's eyes are so wide. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know what it's like to be a parent and like know that your kid is having sex. Like, that must be a weird feeling. Mm-hmm. But she's like freaking out. She's wired.
She's losing her goddamn mind.
And Bree's like, you need to talk to him. And Rex is like, he's 16. Like,
Rex in his typical fashion of non-parenting is just kind of like,
say what?
He's like, he's going to have sex either way. Might as well look, make sure he has a condom.
Did they have the sex talk? Somebody should have had the sex talk with him.
No, because their kids are in like abstinence club or whatever.
Yeah, so they found a condom. Like, she says, you should tell him we found a condom. We forbid him to, you know. And he's like, I can tell him that we think he's too young. But, like, you can't stop your kid from having sex. And that's the truth. I don't know.
That is the truth.
Like, Rex has that laid-back parenting style. But, like, you really can't, like.
No, I mean, my parents didn't want me to. But when the day came to get birth control, it was like, let's go get birth control.
Better option than having a baby. Yeah. And she says, we can't search his room and, like, take these away. And, like, he's a teenage boy. We can take away his penis and he's just still find a way to have sex. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa. It's like so true. She's like, we can't put the condom back. Like, that would be like condemning, like condoning premarital sex. And Rex is like, do you want to become a grandmother?
And so she puts that condom right on top of his clothes. She puts
it right there. It's so neatly stacked. Mm-hmm. Also, your mom is folding your laundry. How lucky.
Oh, my parents stopped doing my laundry when I was like 10.
She believed in old-fashioned values, but she also believed it was better to be safe than sorry. So there we are with Bree.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get our little intro, and then we come back, and Mary Alice Young is still talking, and she says, each new morning in suburbia brings with it a new set of lies, little white lies told not to hurt. And there's like a postman walking by and says, this woman looks good. And she's like, oh my God. And they tell these lies to be pleasant, protect themselves and their reputations. And Carlos is like lying about past due bills to the mailman. And then, yeah, they cut to the girls talking about how Mike was shot. Or is this a different part?
No. So it does cut to the girls, though. And they talk about whether or not they should call the police about the jewelry. Which in a random showing of Gabby being a good well, basically they all talk about it. Bree wants to call. Lynette is like, Susan is skeptical that Mike's a murderer, but she's still kind of like, this is weird. And then Gabby like says to Susan, like, I think we should call, but like, you're our friend, we're gonna do whatever you want us to do. Which I thought was like a nice like moment of solidarity.
Yeah,
because like, Bree's a little too gung-ho and not being empathetic whatsoever.
After she hit her kid's car from hitting her hit run.
Kind of a bitch. I didn't even think about that. She's kind of a bitch. She's a bit of a judgy bitch sometimes.
Okay, we need that to come back around. Juanita, you guys. We forgot about Juanita. Where is Juanita is the biggest mystery. Is she still in a coma?
I guess.
Oh my God.
But Bree's literally there sipping her tea. Looking prim and proper, but Susan does agree that they should call the police because it is evidence. It is important. She doesn't know the whole story. I maybe if I were her, would have talked to Mike. I don't know.
She should have just talked to Mike. It shouldn't be like a fam affair. I guess I would hit you up if like my boyfriend like was maybe caught for theft and shot. I'd be like, what do I do? But also, I think like, he would be like Gabby. He'd be like, whatever you want, I'm here for you.
Yeah, yeah. I also think really quick, though, side note, the logistics. The kid stole it from his garage. Like, there's no proof that that was actually ever in his garage.
That's the truth.
That's some of the show, like, they threaten, like, the blackmail with the house burning down. No evidence there whatsoever. It's a fucking measuring cup. You know what I mean? And this is another, but this is another example of that. It's like, okay, they could go to the police all they want. These kids could say that they found it there all they want. But, like, first of all, her kids are fucking liars about shit.
Her kids are thefts and they stole all over
town. And now there's no physical proof that that's where the jewelry was. his fingerprints wouldn't even been on it because he wouldn't have touched it.
Yeah, that's what I thought that last episode. I'm like, it would be Paul's fingerprints and everybody's freaking out and like nobody's asked the right questions.
It just felt like this would easily be debunked.
Yeah.
But I guess Mike's gunshot wound does kind of throw everybody for a loop.
Yeah, because the police are like, there was, well, we'll get into this. Yeah. So why don't we just go into Susan's storyline, because we learn a lot more.
Yeah.
So Zach is still rolling the fuck around. Zach comes to Susan's house and Julie answers. And Zach is looking pretty clean cut here compared to a few episodes ago, I'd mm-hmm. say. And Julie's like, my mom will be home soon. You gotta go. They're doing this like secret lover thing. And Zach brushes that off like it's no big deal. And he's like, I wanted to deliver this personally. I'm having a party. And she's like, this is risky. My mom doesn't want to see each other. And he's like, it's my birthday party, though. And you're the reason I'm doing this. You have to come, which is guilting her and toxic man.
Also, he hands her like a invitation, like to a 5-year-old's birthday party.
Yeah, they're like balloons on it or something. It's lame.
Formal invitations.
Yeah, Julie's like, I'll talk to her about it, but you got to go.
Yeah.
And then that's where they're left off. Mike rolls up as Susan's getting groceries out of the car. And she's being avoidant to the thousandth degree.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey, sexy, where you been?
Yeah.
And he said, called twice, you avoiding me? And I'm like, oof, this is making me nervous.
This whole scene was whack, dude. I did not like what Susan does here.
She's like, don't be silly. Why would I do that? I've been busy shopping. And he says, 2 days in a row, must be stocked the fuck up.
Well, and while they're having this conversation, we see like cops start to like swarm them
out of every bush on the street in the corner, like,
which is bizarre. I feel like even if they had gotten a tip about the jewelry, this is not how they would arrest him.
No. And Mike, like, oh my god.
And Susan like hits the deck.
Yeah, Susan's like, can you hold this? Mike is like asking her to go out to dinner. She's like, can you hold this? And because the cops are like, get on the ground, but they're not saying it. And then she like jumps on the ground.
If I were her or Mike, I'd be fucking pissed off.
And they make the arrest. Yeah, they put him in the car, cop car.
The whole thing was so crazy.
It was stupid and she sucks. So
that was not a good Susan moment.
It was crazy. Next thing we see, Julie is yelling at Susan about not being able to go to the pool party. Mm-hmm. And she's like, are you going to keep me in the boy free zone until I'm 18? And why do you hate him? And she says, I just think he's crazy. And Julie says something. I'm like, that would hurt me. She says, I've heard people call you kind of crazy.
She goes, I'm adorable crazy. Ooh, he's rampage crazy.
Yeah. Okay, but true.
She's not wrong.
Not wrong. So that goes on. I don't think there's really a resolution here because a detective rolls up and he's investigating the disappearance of Mrs. Huber. And he wants to talk about Mike and everything stops. Like they freeze. They're done arguing. And they're talking on the couch and he's like, did you see him on the 7th? And she's like, is that important? And he's like, that's the day she was murdered. Yeah. And Susan's like, yes, I think I was with him. It's the first time we did it. Like she says something and Julie just like fills in the blank. She's like, they did it. They had sex. And she's like, shut up, Julie. And Julie says, I found men's boxers at the hamper. And she's like, don't write that down. It's super cute. But if we recall from that episode that Jordan and I went off the handle about, where they were cutting together scenes of Martha Huber getting murdered and Mike and Susan fucking, like, it was mm-hmm. hot. And, like, yeah. So they did fuck on the 7th. We confirm, it's confirmed. The audience. Yeah. And next thing that happens, Mike meets his boss, Noah, eating chocolate cake at the diner and, like, shames him for it. He's, like, going heavy on the sweets.
Fucking annoying.
And he says, I'll be dead in a year, so I've got bigger things to worry about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did Mike just call him out? And he says, who do you think killed her? And he says, this chick, Martha, local busybody. Oh, no.
He just asked him if he killed her.
Who do they think you killed?
Yeah.
What Noah asks Mike. And then he's like, Martha Huber, and he explains.
And then he's like, well, did you?
Yeah.
He's like, no. Like, what?
He's like, whoever set me up is an expert. And it's like, just Paul.
Just Paul literally picking up some jewelry and putting it in there.
Yeah, like, Paul is just smarter than everybody. And he's like, the cops are all over me, the trails, it'll lead to whoever you set you up, though. Like, Noah's like, I got your back. I'm going to set up a trail. I'm going to, like, figure it out. And he's like, I'm rich. I can buy my way out of any problem. Don't you sweat it. Bye, Mike. And that's that. Then the detective is at the door again at Susan's house. And he says, can you come down to the station? We're not done questioning you. And Susan's like, well, me and my daughter are about to have dinner. And Julie's like, looking out the window, she sees the pool party and she's like, it's okay, mom, you can fucking go.
Yeah.
And she's like, no worries, see you later. At the station, they're checking out her story and they're like, 10 p.m. on the 7th, you sure about that? And like, do you know about the tension between Mike and Hubert? You know, he was shot, blah, blah. Doesn't usually happen that a guy shoots himself. Mm-hmm. And then also there was a home invasion the day before Valentine's Day. And Susan, you can see her doing the math. She looks like that meme of that woman.
That white lady, yeah.
That's what she looks like. And she's connecting all the dots. And I'm like, Susan is finally getting it.
But what sucks, though, is like Mike didn't kill Martha. Like, he's done other stuff. But like,
this isn't why he's sketchy.
No. And so it does suck. Like, seeing her, like, the wheels turning and the just, oh, man.
It's bananas. And also the most bananas question that this guy motherfucking asked her, he says, do you love him? And I'm like, no one would ever ask that.
No.
And she's like, what does that have to do with things? And he's like, people do stupid things for love. I've done it 4 times. I would know. He's been married 4 times. And I'm like, ugh, this is just a weird plug this guy is trying to put.
Yeah.
And then Susan is like, this isn't it. Mike didn't do it. And they pull out his record. And this also was something that had me on the floor. He did 5 years in prison. He did 5 hard years.
5 years in prison for manslaughter and what was it?
Drugs. Drug trafficking or something.
Drug something.
What? I'm like, I never got, oh my God. I'm like, Mike is a bad boy. Where do you think he got that tat on his arm?
I was about to say, honestly, I'm still into it.
I am so into Mike after this. I am like, oh my God, I'm off the charts for Mike. I take back every bad thing I ever said about him.
Yeah, no, I love it. But I do feel bad for Susan in this scene because the cops are literally like, no, she doesn't know anything. She's a fucking sucker.
They go back behind their little wall and they say that. And like, she's like basically crying and these guys are like, she's stupid.
Yeah.
And then Susan gets home from the station. She is defeated. She's walking her sorry ass home in a different way today. And Mike rolls up. He is humiliated and she is humiliated and shocked. She's like, how could you?
She pops off on him, which if I were him, I would have popped off on her for the dramatic ass way she had him arrested.
Yeah.
But also, quick note, everybody, when they hooked up, like way back, she says to him, no, he says to her, ask me anything you want. I will tell you anything. And she says, that's all I need to know. She never asked. She didn't care.
She wasn't like, what's your credit score? Have you ever like committed any crime? She didn't do a background check. And girls, you
but it's not even that. Like, she saw that he had crazy money and a gun and all that. She didn't even bother to ask that. Like, why are you here? Actually, Kendra has told her, ask him why he's here. She still hasn't done that. Honestly, Mike has given her every opportunity and has been forthcoming with her when she asks the questions. I just feel like, yes, he's in the wrong. He should probably just talk about this to begin with. But, like, Susan's acting like he's lied to her point blank about, like, everything.
Yeah, she's acting like he wronged her and is like, no, you just didn't care.
She literally didn't care.
She didn't care. And she's all, oh my God. She took him out to that dinner. It's like, I can't have your babies. Let's talk about bait. She's like on a different wavelength. They're on different wavelengths. That's my problem with them. They're not on the same wavelengths. It's like watching a Bachelor episode and like the two people are just like not vibing. And like, you're like, they don't match.
I feel like Mike should just tell her why he moved to Wisteria Lane. He's clearly digging about Deirdre or whatever the heck happened to her. Just tell her that.
I feel like he's not even over that chick if he's literally investigating, unless he's part of, like, I don't know. Obviously, we're going to find out more, hopefully. But, like, I find it hard that he's, like, into Susan. Especially after Ep 2, he was like, I have a late wife, and it's hard to get over her, and that's why I have Bongo the dog. And, like, he said that.
I think that's a different wife.
It's a different wife, but I just don't know that Mike is actually, like, ready. I don't know. That's my own conclusion. But either way, Susan has a banger line, and she's like, I don't want you anywhere near my heart. I was like, dang.
Get it, sis.
I've merely said that.
She's right in a way. I do feel that.
And then she gets inside. She screams for Julie, and she says, Mom needs a hug, and I can't imagine growing up with a mother that needs as much attention.
She's a high maintenance mother.
And she sees the pool party and puts it together that after Julie doesn't answer, and she sees the boys outside of the party. She like goes looking for Julie. She sees these guys. She's like, is Julie in there? And they're like, who's Julie?
They're like, what?
Yeah. And she sees people in the pool making out. And it's this kid, Justin, that we're going to talk about because we're going to talk about Gabby. is this kid Justin and his gay lover, who happens to be Bree's son Andrew with a condom.
Yeah, all the stories kind of converge here. But yeah, that shit's wild. And then, we'll deep dive more into that later.
Andrew pops his head up. He's like, I'm not gay. And Susan runs away.
Susan's like, yeah, I know. Bye. And runs away.
Yeah, then we see Mike's boss talking to one of the cops that talks shit on Susan at the diner. Like, basically he's about to bribe him. Yeah, he's fixing shit. Yeah. He's doing the work that Mike can't do, apparently.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Gabby, because this is where we really get to know Justin.
This is where we get to know Justin, who we've met a handful of times. He is the man with the line about how Danielle was looking real slutty.
I know. I killed him one episode. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So yeah. Gabby is on her way home. And I said this weird dude with frosted tips is like, what up, G? That's
what I wrote. The man is.
Because that was his energy. What up, yeah, G?
No, not cool.
And she's like, do I know you? And he's like, I'm Justin, John's roommate. I heard that argument where he broke a bottle against the fireplace. He didn't say that, but that's what he should have said. Yeah. I heard the argument where he was like, do you love me?
Yeah.
You love me. He's like, I've been waiting forever for you and want me to do you a favor. And John says, you can't afford a gardener. I'd be happy to do it for free. Mow your lawn, water your flowers, trim your bushes. And he gets like gross. Like
they
right
both
away.
Speak in innuendos for the it's rest of the scene.
So bad. And he said, everything John did for you, I'll do. And I said, this is so icky. I don't like it at all.
I said, this guy is a huge yuck. Whatever the heck that means.
He's a huge yuck. No,
why I wrote it like that.
A huge no. Big no. There's a sign above his head. She's like, my husband will be home a lot now and he does all the trimming. And he's like, this is a beautiful yard. I'm sure it could use extra attention. And I'm like, why are they talking? This is like a step away from the third person talking.
It's,
I'm like,
it's so, the innuendos are so many and it's uncomfortable that she like does it too. I'm like, why are you talking like that?
And then I said, what is this guy thinking? Like he woke up today and was like, I'm just going to go hit up this chick. Like I'm seriously like,
he's like, I'm going to go like
harass
someone to have sex with me.
And she says, I'm flattered, no thank you. He straight up grabs her.
I know, that freaked me out.
Oh my God. Did I mention that my husband is home? He's on house arrest and has a lot of anger. And he backs off and she walks a little bit away. But I was taken aback by this scene. It was so weird and uncanny. And so the next thing we see, Gabby yells at Carlos for past due bills while he's like downing a sandwich. She's like, we're broke. The mortgage taxes, like we're screwed. I'm freaking out. Like that you're not freaking out. Everything's fine. He says, he reassures her, we're lucky people. We'll be lucky again. And she hears the lawnmower go off.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, John?
Yeah. She's like, freedom?
No, that's not what happens. She sees the new like lanky gardener out there with his shirt off, like eyeing her, like eye fucking her in front of Carlos.
Yeah, Carlos is oblivious as fuck, but basically Carlos had like accepted Justin as their free gardener.
Yeah, and he's like, aren't we lucky? And I'm like, ew,
so stupid.
At this point, like, we don't know shit about Justin and I'm not liking him. I am a big yuck about him. I hate him. Justin is at her house again, inside now. She's in a slip. She's in that outfit she's wearing in the last episode on those mattresses. Mm-hmm. She's in, like, lingerie. And he's, like, walking in on her, like, in this open door. And he's, like, finish up the hedges. So is there anything else, like, your husband wants done? And, like, Gabby's like, Carlos isn't here. Like, he's with the lawyer. And he's like, so we're all alone. And Gabby's like, I'm all alone.
And he, like, grabs her again. Yeah. She slaps the fuck out of him.
He says, maybe we can hang out. And he literally assaults her again. And he says, you have to be nice to me at least once. And I said, this guy is so icky. And he threatens to tell Carlos about John at this point. He says, you have to be nice to me at least once or I'm going to tell. And
so he, like, blackmailed. So
yeah, she basically is like, get the fuck out, and nothing happens, but he still assaulted her.
Yeah.
It's disturbing. And then Gabby goes to see John to like fix this, because I guess that's what you do. I don't know how John would fix the situation.
She just wants him to beat the fuck out of Justin, I guess.
I
that's
guess.
What she says.
I'm like, do you just tell your, I don't know, your ex-lover who like almost quit school for you?
Mm-hmm.
That his roommate is icky, like, even though you're not planning to get back together with him. I don't know what she wants, but she goes there, and it's only Justin. And basically Justin's quaking. He says, I didn't think you talked to John anymore. And she says, now we have something to talk about, and it's you. And he's like, I don't think that, she says, I don't think he'll like that you're blackmailing me, and I know he'll get violent. And Justin's like, oh my God, no, please, no. Basically, I'm saying this guy is the fucking worst. He threatens again to tell Carlos, I believe. He's on the verge of tears, and he starts, like, breaking down, and he says, I really needed to sleep with you. And I'm like, sex addiction? What's happening? He says, I think I might be gay. And I'm like, what the fuck? This storyline's great. It's bananas.
And he says that he wants to sleep with her because, like, if a woman like her can't, like, make him
enjoy sex, I don't know. Like,
but they
there's
actually,
a lot of questions.
Yeah. And it cuts away and it comes back and they actually have a relatively endearing conversation where Gabby does, like, listen to him and, like, he opens up about how he has a friend, quote unquote, who we later learn is Andrew, but he has a friend that he's, like, developing feelings for. And, like, Gabby's actually, like, really nice about it.
Gabby
would not have
chill.
Been that nice. I would have been like, all right, bye.
Thinking,
like,
after he assaulted me twice, mm-hmm. No, hell no.
But they have a good talk and he, like, basically tells her, like, I would never have told Carlos, I'm sorry. And he's like, I may be gay, but I'm not a jerk. Which
yeah,
was
that's
like
what he said. He said,
line.
I would never tell Carlos, yeah. I may be gay, but I'm not a jerk. And I thought that line was lame.
And then Gabby, like, kisses him to, like, see if anything happens. And he's like, no. And she's like, definitely gay. And I'm like, dang, any opportunity to kiss a teenage boy, she fucking.
Apparently. Oh, like, I didn't even think about that. But I was also just like, how hoity-toity of her to be like, I kissed you and you weren't hard. You're not, you're definitely gay. It's like, okay, that's some type of self-confidence that's out of my league. Like, I don't get it. Like,
And then
we end up, Gabby's telling Carlos that they have to sell the house. And he's like, there has to be another way. They have another, Gabby has, like, a nice one with Carlos too, mm-hmm. where they say, like, she's like, I've been broke, but, like, we are not poor.
Yeah.
Which I think is in stark contrast to a lot of the other shit that she's said the past several episodes.
It's directly opposing to what she's
everything
been saying.
She said. Also what she told John, where he's like, we can be broke, but we can be happy. And she's like, nah. But then with Carlos, she's like, we can be broke and be happy. So I guess she has more faith in Carlos, but it's another nice moment. Like, Gabby is coming through with a lot of, like, coolness mm-hmm. in this ep. So
yeah, no. And I actually wrote for once, I'm like, maybe they actually do love each other. Like, and I'm like, I didn't get emotional, but I felt it. That scene where they're just standing in the doorway, like, talking to each other.
Yeah,
on the, porch.
The way it was filmed, like, because you could see them, there's, like, the space between them. And yeah, it's beautiful. And I was like, this is a combo you have when you're down on your luck with your partner.
Yeah, it was a good story. I didn't like it, but this was a good story for Gabby. I felt like it brought us full circle to, like, her previous storylines. It gave her and Carlos a moment where you're like, oh, that's maybe why they got married. They actually do care about each other.
Sometimes. Yeah. Well, we can talk about Lynette next. Okay. Or maybe, actually, let's talk about Bree because she ties into all these. Lynette's kind of in her own world this week.
Yeah. So Bree's storyline, we kind of talked about in the opening how it starts with the condom. And then one day, like, the family's having dinner, and Danielle and Andrew are kind of roasting Zach's party, roasting the invitations, which I thought
they
good. They were dicks, but they were right.
Jordan's like, they shut up.
They need to fucking bully that kid. No more, no.
And they're like, he should have just passed out invites on the quad. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Well, they decide they're going to go to the party.
With Lisa and Justin.
Yeah. And Bree questions him about the female friends and, like, gives him a curfew.
Who is Lisa? The belly button ring?
Yeah. And then Bree kind of calls Rex out for not, like, saying anything. And then she's like, if you get Lisa pregnant, you're going to marry her. So then Andrew kind of laughs and he's just like, is this about the condom that you left on my bed? And Bree's like, well, yeah. And he's, like, giggling nonstop. And
Bree's like, what are you laughing at? And he's like, it's not mine.
Yeah. And then Danielle just, like, calls him a dick or jerk or something. And, like,
Danielle just, like, is like,
she's
like,
pissed.
Rolls her eyes.
So then, like, Mom and Dad change their tune a little bit when it's the daughter that's having
sex. Yeah, okay, that was also
pissed me off.
Just telling, I'm like, these gender roles. Fucked I'm like, up. What the fuck? And so, yeah, we catch up. Bree is, like, with Danielle in the kitchen, and she's like, "We need to talk." And Danielle has to, like, defend her virginity to her mother. But with Andrew, it was like, "Do we want to be sending that message, like, that we condone sex, mm-hmm. but also?" you know, we don't want grandchildren, but then like they just leave him the condom, but then they have to have a throwdown with Danielle about it. Like,
well, and she says to Danielle, Danielle, you are president of the abstinence club. And she goes, I wasn't planning on running for a second term.
I did love that. I was like, the sass coming in. And okay, but this is where it gets crazy. This is another part of the, all the craziness this episode. She says, yeah, she says that line, and her mom's like, who are you going to fuck, Danielle?
Yeah.
You're not a model. No, I'm just, you're not a model. Like,
you're no Gabby.
Throwback to a couple episodes when she wanted to be a model. But she says John, and I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah, apparently she's been obsessed with John this whole time.
Okay, the backstory, that's the fan fiction we need, Danielle, just being obsessed with John.
No, that's just wild.
No idea.
So she thinks that... So he told her when he broke up with her that it was because she wouldn't have sex with him. So she thinks that if she has sex with him, he'll want to date her. And if this isn't like the most like PSA, like don't do this, this is like crazy.
It's the most PSA thing ever.
But like Bree tries to tell her that's no way to like keep a man. But Danielle like kind of claps back because Bree's like, well, me and your dad waited. And Danielle's like, well, dad cheated on you.
I'm like, did they actually wait though? I cannot see these two people waiting. Like,
no, but she's like...
Yeah, she's like, Mom, I love you, but you're the last person to take advice about sex from sex and happiness. I know that you're miserable. Like, I hear everything through the walls. And, yeah. Like, Bree is quiet.
Yeah, no, Bree, because she's right. Danielle's right. Like, Bree is living in.
Right, yeah. I agree 100%. She's there.
Yeah.
So Bree heads to talk to John because I guess this is what everybody does. Like, John is some sort of problem solver.
Yeah, which I have to tell you what I thought was going to happen in that scene. Okay. But just, yeah, explain it.
She says, my daughter wants to have sex with you and give you her virginity. And I would love if you did me a huge favor and didn't take it. She said he broke up with her because of sex. And he's like, I just said that. The truth was, I wasn't that into her. Yeah. Like, I said, isn't it always the truth? And Bree's like, what? I don't know why Bree's so confused. She was proud of never having done it. So that was my way out, is what John says. And like, Bree's like, she's obsessed with you. Like,
she basically tells him, like, you need to dump her hard. Yeah. Like, ruin her life.
Be brutal. Be brutal is what she says. And because... she says, I know my daughter, she like won't take anything lightly, like, mm-hmm. You have to be harsh. So that's what happened there.
Okay, the way it was filmed though, like, Bree, I thought Bree was gonna like, I don't know what I thought, kiss him or some shit to show Danielle, because she was like inching closer to him, and the way it was shot, I for a second was like, I don't remember what happens here, and my brain was like, oh no, is John just gonna fuck another housewife? And I was like, no, oh, Bree and Rex are reconciling. But my brain was like, they're shooting this like something might happen. But it was weird.
Also, Bree, like, okay, John has had a moment with like everybody almost.
Except for Lynette,
he had a moment with Susan with the touching the face. Now he's had this moment with Bree. Dude, I think John's gonna get around. You already know, but like, yeah, it was weird that she went over there. I think everybody needs to stop going to John's house. Like, he's an 18-year-old boy. I don't know why you think he's going to solve problems. So that's just my personal opinion. So next time we're at the pool party, Danielle is like, I'm not going to swim, just rolled out my hair. And then she spots John, swoons, and is like, bye, Julie, because they are talking. And she straight up, okay, kisses John. She doesn't even say hi. She just rolls in for a kiss. They're broken the fuck up.
It's like the most awkward thing of all time, too. Yeah. I'm sorry, sis. He's clearly not that into you. Like, please. I'm begging you.
And she says, I got a surprise for you. Want to go talk? That's the last we see them for a while. Then Julie sees Zach, and he's so excited. And he's like, he's thrilled. And Julie says, Andrew's here. Like, that's super weird. Like, don't get that because they're not buds. And then next time we see Danielle, she's running away from John, screaming at the pool. And they all see this. Julie and Zach are talking, and like Andrew like throws someone in the pool, and then harasses Zach about this party. And he's like, give me a howl. And like Zach does like a weak ass howl.
Andrew's like, just being so a dick. Weird. Like, he's peacocking around, acting like a dick.
But Zach's also being annoying. And then Zach like makes, I'm not even gonna call it a joke because it's not a joke, but like Zach says a statement about, I could off him. Like, I could get rid of him. I know where my mom's gun is.
Yeah, Julie's like, that's not funny. He's like, it is actually, is what he says. And I was like, whoa.
Peak crazy energy. I can't, I just, Oh my God. Yeah. I'm glad that the writers wrote that so we can really get a handle on how crazy Zach is.
But, and I'm glad that Julie immediately was like, I'm not comfortable. Yeah. I'm taking myself out of this situation. Julie's a great little role model. I think that, like, that was awesome watching her just, like, take, like, no, I'm going to take Julie. Daniel home.
Queen Julie. Yes. So I'm obsessed with that. And then she sees Daniel crying outside and is like, do you want me to walk you home? And they, like, end up walking home. Zach chases after her, and she's like, I'm busy walking Danielle home. And then Zach, like, runs away, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So we see, so, oh, my God, yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
There's a lot.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to lose my virginity to John. Mm. So that took me by surprise. On a storyline that I hate even more than anything I've ever hated is Lynette's storyline.
Really?
I hate Lynette now. I hate her 100%.
I have so much to say about this storyline, actually. I'm really glad we saved it for last.
I can't even believe that this is happening.
Okay, let me take us through and then we'll get in. Yeah. We're going to dive in because I have a lot to say. Basically, Lynette's storyline opens with Tom coming home from work and he announces he didn't get this vice president job that he had been wanting. Lynette asks him if he had even, like, really advocated for himself, and he's kind of like, well, no. And she kind of roasts his style of management, and it's a bit awkward. But he, like, doesn't really get offended as much as he takes it as, like, okay, I'm going to step up my game.
And they have a parallel where he asks the kids twice to stop, like, playing around nicely, and then Lynette just yells at them and they, like, they straighten up.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, an example of their management styles. Mm-hmm. So that happens there.
And then flash forward to Lynette and Tom. They're at a softball event, like one of those, like, every business has their own team or whatever. And the guy that got his job is named Tim Dugan. And he's running the bases, and Tom's kind of bitter and is narrating the, you know, making fun of him basically.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I thought it was funny in an intimate moment of them, like, making fun of him together.
And then Dugan, like, just tumbles down. Turns out he had a heart attack. And later, Tom comes home and tells her that while Dugan survived, he won't be back at work for 4.5 to 5 months. And he tells her that he took the promotion. So, basically, like, he convinced his boss to not hold the promotion and that he deserved it. And he did exactly what Lynette kind of called him out for. He, like, stood up for himself. Well, then he tells her more details about the job and that he's opening up offices on the West Coast from Seattle to LA.
I was like, ooh, yeah. Ballin'.
And he says it'll be like some more travel, but Lynette was under the impression that it was an in-house promotion and not like a traveling job.
She's like, I didn't know it was traveling. And I'm like, you didn't even fucking ask him, did you?
That's the thing. So we don't know what their communication about this job has been. We don't know if Tom has either withheld that information, didn't think it was a big deal, or what. Tom is kind of aloof. But Lynette probably didn't ask for details on the promotion, so that's kind of on her, too. But basically, they get into this, like, argument. And at first, I kind of sided with Lynette because she makes the comment where he goes, like, this job's really important to me. And she's like, well, my job was really important to me, and, like, look at where I'm at. So basically, like, she's been asked to make all the sacrifices for the family, but he doesn't have to make any.
But I'm going to pull it. And I know you said at first I thought this. So yeah. I assume you changed your mind.
I did change my mind.
But you've said time and time again, she didn't have to quit her job. And she didn't have to quit her job. No, and that's all I could think in that moment. I was like, you're guilting him because you quit your job. But, like,
you're
you
right.
You didn't have to do that.
You're right. However, I do think that we have spent a lot of episodes with Tom being gone and that being a problem in their relationship.
True.
So I think that he is not taking it very seriously that he will be traveling more and what that means for them. I just felt like maybe that's a conversation they have after they celebrate, or maybe that he should have realized that that was an important detail. I don't know. Like I said, we didn't really get a conversation about them even talking about the fact that there was a promotion that he could be up for and what that would mean. Yeah. So we don't know who didn't do what. But basing on that first scene where they get into it about it, I do feel like while Lynette didn't have to give up her job, for Tom to just kind of disregard the fact that she did have to make sacrifices, because one of them was going to have to do it at the end of the day, because he was part of them having multiples of children.
Yeah.
He wants lots of kids. That's all fine and dandy. But I think he should also recognize the fact that, like, I guess I just didn't like that he dismissed her. I think you're right that she is in the wrong for guilting him, but I think he is being very dismissive of the toll that traveling takes on their family. Like, he just doesn't, it's like not computing.
I don't know what conversations they've had. I could say that they might have had a conversation about his traveling job at some point. I feel like Lynette is being a fucking wacko for this because as we, okay, we're not done with this storyline.
No,
yet.
We're not.
So Lynette brings, the next thing Lynette does after he gets the promotion, after she guilt him, after she's a total bitch about it, brings the kids to work to see Tom. And she makes like passive remarks at him. We went to get some ice cream and the boys knew you wouldn't be home until after bedtime and since like you're a BP. And like there's this weird moment and he's like, okay. And he says that I got the office with the window. And Lynette's like, it's all about the window, isn't it? And I'm like, you are being the most annoying person ever right now.
No, she's being a fucking passive aggressive bitch.
Okay, I would use the C word, but like I don't want to have to bleep it out later. But I'm like pissed about the way that she's acting about this right now.
No, this scene's despicable. What she does here.
Oh my God. It's unspeakable. Tom goes to play with the kids. He's like, let's do some chair rides. And like the secretary, at first I thought this was going to be like a cheating thing, like he's hooking up with the secretary. Maybe
it's not even the secretary, she's just the wife of the boss.
She's the wife of the boss. So I had it confused for a second, but then she's like, yeah, like we're so excited for Tom to have the promotion. Like I helped even convince my husband because Tom like loves his job so much. He deserves it. And Lynette is sitting there like frowning, like clearly unhappy, like as this woman is like hyping her husband up. Mm-hmm. And the woman is catching on and she's like, what?
Like aren't you happy about the promotion?
And she's like, I'm just sad that he's going to be gone all the time.
Well, at first she's like, yeah, I am happy. And then she goes, but you know, he's going to miss all these birthdays and just starts listing.
Oh, my God.
She basically sabotages it, and the promotion gets taken away
from
him.
Yeah, I hope he hasn't looked back and regret it. And this lady, like, gets her wheels turning, and oh, my God. And then next thing we see, Lynette's in bed. Lynette comes to bed. Tom is there just, like, doing a crossword or something, and he's like, how was PTA? And she's like, long. And he's like, so I, like, got demoted. Like, I don't have the promotion anymore. I'm like a regular ass job. Back at my regular ass job.
Yeah. And the saddest part is he tries to like, he goes, well, you know, he tries to make the best out of it. He's clearly so depressed about it, but he tries so hard to be like, maybe it is the best for our family. You were right. It's so heartbreaking watching that. He is trying so hard to not be upset about it. And Lynette just sits there like a fucking C word.
He's like basically crying. He's basically crying, and Lynette is, like, looking like she feels bad, and I hope she does, because she should, because this was...
She doesn't even come for him.
This is the worst thing. Like, I could get upset about a lot of other things, but I literally can't believe that. I can't even believe it. That she, like, this is your partner. This is the person you're supposed to lean on. Like, that's supposed to support you, and, like, she literally, like, Okay, first of all, he'd be making way more money. Like, I know that there's a trade-off of like the time, like the time he's gone, but like I just feel like she has shown time and again, especially with Claire, when Claire was good at her job and she's like trying to find things wrong. Like, I feel like Lynette just can't handle not being the best and is like a perfectionist, almost worse than Brie.
I mean, I think that she has a complex, like, when it comes to people succeeding around her, and like, yeah, Tom would travel more, but then they could maybe hire a nanny. Maybe she could travel with him sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Like, the logic behind what her choices here are so fucked up. Like, this was despicable. I don't have another word for it. Like, I was so frustrated watching.
I hated every moment of everything.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it because she... And she made a comment in a previous episode to Tom about how she made more money when they were both working.
Yeah.
And it's like, so wouldn't you want him then to move up?
I feel like she's always just trying to make him feel bad about his job. Emasculating him. Yeah. And she's done, like, okay, when she was on Adderall and she, like, did the pitch for him and, like, just talk. She, like, okay, it's one thing to be, like, better at your job and, like, know it or, like, make more money than your partner. But, like, I feel like she goes out of her way to make him feel bad and she could be nicer about it. And, like, she doesn't give a fuck about his feelings.
No. She didn't even really comfort him at the end. The least she could have done. The least. No, but this was pretty sickening.
I'm mad.
I think that, like, she's going to justify it in her head as, like, he didn't give me all the details on the job. So, like, we both went behind each other's backs almost. But I don't really see. I mean, that's how she's going to live with herself. But, like, what if, like, she probably just set his career way back, too.
Because 100%.
Because now all the boss and the boss's wife are going to talk about is how his family needs him and his family this. And it's like.
No, okay. He can never be VP at that firm. So, fuck Lynette. Yeah. So Mary Alice Young rounds out the whole thing. I'm heated now. Each day brings a new set of lies. The worst are the ones we tell ourselves before we fall asleep, like telling ourselves that we're happy or that he's happy, that we can change or that he will change his mind. And we see like Danielle there. I love that he'll change his mind. We persuade ourselves that we can live with our sins or that we can live without them. Each night before we fall asleep, we lie to ourselves. In desperate hope that by morning it will all be true. And we see like Lynette like sitting wide awake, and she should lose sleep over this because it's fucked up. So
yeah,
guess who my kill is this week? It's Lynette.
If I had to put money, I was about to say, if I were a betting man,
it's Lynette. I kill Lynette.
Okay. Who would you marry?
Oh.
You're like, that's as far as I got.
Yeah, I just got through.
I would also kill Lynette.
Okay, she deserves
it. No, that shit was fucked up.
I would actually marry Bree, or not Bree. I'd marry Gabby this week. Because, okay, although she's annoying in last episode where she was, like, talking down everybody, she did pull herself up by the bootstraps last episode. This episode, she came in being very understanding of this young boy mm-hmm. and, like, being open to it. And then also very supportive of Carlos and, like, hopeful for them, too. Mm-hmm. And I like that attitude. So
She gave the pep talk when it was needed.
Yeah, I've never married Gabby before, but I'm going to marry Gabby.
Okay.
And then I'm going to fuck Mike because of his drug record.
They added a little toxic spice to him, and I'm going to fuck him as well. I'm glad you said that, because that also is my fuck for the week. Yeah. He's always hot, but they spiced him up a little bit.
Yeah.
My Mary? I don't even know. Everybody was kind of bugging me this week. I would marry...
I can suggest.
Who's your suggestion?
I can suggest Julie.
That's my go-to right now. I think I'm going to go with Julie. I liked the scene that when she just left the party when she wasn't comfortable. I think that's very empowering, and I love that for her.
She comforted Danielle.
Yeah, she took care of Danielle, a crying person who she clearly is not friends with Danielle. They would never hang out. But she's a good person, and that's who I want in my corner. And then Housewife of the Week.
I was going to nominate Gabby, but I feel like you're not going to be up board. I nominated Gabby because, okay, she went through two near sexual assaults mm-hmm. and she still took the time to talk to that guy and hear him out and try and talk to him about his sexuality.
I'm gonna agree, partially because yes, those are good points, and also every other wife this week was just bugging me. Like, I didn't like Bree's double standard with the sex thing. God. Did not at all like Lynette, obviously, and Susan, the way she handled the whole cops Mike thing was pathetic. Like, it was very like, it was just pathetic. If she really loved him like she claims she does, she would have at least tried to have a conversation with him and been like, put it on the table and just said, tell me everything about what's going on, and then go from there. But no, instead she has the cops fucking swarm them. So yeah, bye. No. So not only did Gabby have the best storyline in terms of her own actions, but the other ones were just so bad at this point that I'm like,
I'm gonna have to agree. So Gabby gets it. Like, she was, wow, the first time she's been the least horrible, I would have to say.
No, like, I actually did really like her in this episode. Like, the more we talked about it, too, the more I was like, okay, yeah, I can get down. She was super empathetic and cool.
Well, we're just rolling on through. We are now at our Apple rating.
I have mine.
I have mine, too.
All right.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
4.75.
Oh my god, yes!
I couldn't do full five.
I couldn't either, but it was a really good episode.
Oh my gosh, this is such a good episode.
No, I feel like a lot happened. The Andrew situation was a fun, like, new direction for the show to go in. I really liked it. Honestly, Lynette just pissed me off so much.
But I was going to say, Lynette is the reason, like, her storyline had meat, but, like, in all the wrong ways. Like, I wanted her to be... It really
made me dislike her.
She's not even anti-hero. I just hate her. Yeah. Like,
just pissed.
I'm not even intrigued by her at this point. Yeah. Like, I never thought I would hate Lynette this much.
Yeah.
So if there's any fans out there, I want to see how you feel about episode 15.
Yeah.
Because I can't believe that we're alone, like, in hating her.
It's hard because I feel like every week one of them does something that makes me hate them. And then the next week I kind of forget about it and I'm like, on to the next like storyline with them.
I mean, Brie hasn't done that for me yet too much.
No.
Was I disgusted that she hit her son's hit and run? A little. But I don't like completely hate her.
No, I haven't had a full on pissed off moment.
Yeah, I've never.
So it's weird to feel like this intensity towards Lynette right now. But I feel like there's been hints that she would, like you said, when you talked about the babysitting storyline.
Yeah.
Or the nanny, whatever it was. Like, I think we got hints of this in that story.
Yeah.
So they did set up that she has some sort of complex
issue.
And I don't think it's just Tom not being around. I think it's,
I just find it like so disgraceful and like such a bad look to not support somebody in their success. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know why that's triggering me more than everything else that's happened, but I'm like.
But I think it's because you relate to it. Like you want like someone that support, you're a working woman. Like you have a great job. Like, and your partner, if they did something like this to you.
Oh my God.
I would game over.
Get divorced. Yeah. Over that. Yeah. If I'm ever even married. But like.
No, but it's true. And I think that storyline hits home because we both are working women. Like we both want partners that would never do something, even think.
I make my own money. Like I take care of myself. Like, and also this man is he takes care of your family. He's the only person working. And like, whether or not he travels, you don't work. And like,
he busts his ass to make sure you have this big ass house and private school for your kids. Like, I just think it was super short-sighted and selfish of her. Obviously, you agree.
Yeah, like, I'm glad we agree. I would be like, what the fuck? If you
no, this would have been, no. Oh, I was getting really frustrated watching. So, no, I totally get where you're coming from. But I also just think, like, as people that want to move forward in careers and stuff, that story just, like, it bit a little harder than maybe it did to others.
Yes, if you watch and you hate, I mean, yeah, we had a fan ask our top. Mm-hmm. Housewives, I'm like, I want to know the bottom five.
But it changes all the time. I feel like it's hard for me to.
I mean, that's just a good sign that these are dynamic characters. Mm-hmm. Like
they're well rounded. There's no point blank villain or anything.
There's good and bad in all of us. Mm-hmm. But all right, we've reached the end. I'm gonna go think about this for the next week until we watch our next episode. Until the next episode, I'm gonna be fuming about it. So. You know, I'm going to bug you about all the same things. Just follow us. Hang out with us.
Subscribe, like, rate, review, all of it.
And tune in next Monday because we'll be doing episode 16. And, like, we appreciate all of you that are along for the ride. And other than that, we leave you with the solid advice that we always give to know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.